Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon. This morning, we reread together a part of the Christmas story from Luke chapter 2, the first seven verses. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all returned to their own ancestral towns to be registered for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. And he traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. Laura and I had only been married about 4 months when we drove from Boulder, Colorado up to Spokane to spend Christmas with her parents. And we had a wonderful time together, and we were driving back to Boulder when Laura started feeling sick. And it soon became apparent that we were not going to make it all the way back. We had to stop and find a place for her where she could be able to rest and get a little bit better before we finished our journey. The problem was that it was in the middle of the night. We're driving through Utah. It's during the Christmas holiday season. And we just could not find a place that had any rooms available. You have to get off the interstate and you drive through these little sleepy towns with all these motels. No vacancy, no vacancy, no vacancy. And there was especially one that I remember. We came up to this kind of seedy looking building. There's this motel, neon sign that's kind of flashing, but doesn't say no vacancy. So I decide that let's stop and see if they have room. So I hit the bell for the night clerk, and this very overweight man comes out in a dirty t-shirt, smoking a cigar, and sourly informs me that they have no rooms available. And Lori was not too unhappy about having to keep looking after that experience. Well, gratefully, the Lord soon led us to a place, and we were able to find a room, and within a relatively short period of time, Lori was feeling much better, and we were able to make it all the way home. But that phrase from the Christmas story, there was no lodging available for them, really took on kind of new meaning for us through that difficult and unpleasant experience. We read the Christmas story. I think we've become very familiar with it over the years. And we can use our imagination. We can kind of see in our mind's eye what is going on there in Palestine some 2,000 years ago. You have this little town called Bethlehem, normally a very small, sleepy village nestled in the Judean hills outside of Jerusalem. But now, because of the census and all the people who have to travel to the city because they are descendants of David for this Roman census, the place is packed. And there's all these people, many of them foreigners, many of them, this is not home territory for them, and they all need a place to stay. And in it, they're all a little bit kind of frantic and a little bit put out and unhappy because the Romans are making them do this, but they really don't have much choice. And into this kind of difficult and chaotic and crowded situation come Joseph and Mary, having traveled all the way from Nazareth, which is normally about a 3-day journey. Not only that, but Mary is very, very pregnant. A very uncomfortable journey for her. And they come into Bethlehem, and kind of like Laura and I did there in those little Utah towns, they began looking for a place to stay. But there was no room for them. Bethlehem was crowded. Bethlehem was busy. People were taking care of themselves, minding their own business, and nobody really had time for this young peasant couple and this very pregnant lady. Well, of course, eventually they found what must have been a stable of some kind, and Mary was able finally to get some rest. She gave birth to her firstborn son and laid him in the manger because there was no room for them in the inn. It is, on one hand, a beautiful story. On the other hand, it's kind of sad. You know, Bethlehem is the place where the most amazing birth that has ever taken place in history is about to happen, and no one is paying attention. No one realizes what's going on. There's no room for Jesus in Bethlehem. And of course, it raises the question for us as we celebrate Christmas. The question comes for us, do we have room for Jesus? Not in our house. A lot of us probably would have a guest room or something for him. But of course, we're talking about our hearts. Do we have room for Jesus in our hearts this Christmas season? Do we have room for him in our lives, to be a part of our lives? Or are we too busy? Are we just kind of too preoccupied with all the things that Christmas means and Christmas is about, that we have not taken time to stop and recognize the most amazing birth that has ever taken place in all history is the birth of a Savior, not only of the world, but of our Savior? Is he a part of our lives this morning in an active way? One of the really interesting things about the Christmas story is that when God sends his Son into the world, he doesn't send him in a way that requires us to pay attention. He doesn't come spectacularly, other than to a few shepherds. They don't seem like they had much choice. I mean, angels and choirs and you better go see the baby. Okay. The shepherds get it. Mary and Joseph, they get it. They've had angel visits. We have some wise men that are going to show up within a couple of years, and they have some special information. But for most of the people, in fact, the vast majority of the people, they don't have to pay attention if they don't want to. They can go on with their busy lives. God's not going to force them. Say, hey, wait a minute. Stop everything, Bethlehem. My son is about to be born. Pay attention. I want you to be interested in the things that are important to me. I want you to stop whatever you're doing. Notice, my son is about to be born. Can't any of you find a place for him? Can't any of you make room for him? No, see, God doesn't do that. So many of the carols that we sing this time of year have to do with the silence. How silently, right? Silent night, holy night. Not like fireworks and floodlights and angels that are using trumpets, at least not in Bethlehem, and certainly not in Jerusalem. Jerusalem has no clue what's going on, or any place else for that matter, at least not at first. It is interesting that just as Jesus didn't force people to pay attention to the birth of his son back then, he doesn't force us today, you or me, to make room for his son. He comes quietly. He comes to us according to prophecy. It has been foretold. But we have the choice. We can pretty much just carry on with life as it is and say, Jesus, I'm just too busy. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus is speaking. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door and welcomes me in, I will come in. That's God's way of coming to us. I stand at the door and knock. And I will wait for you to see if you will open the door of your heart to me. Jesus is not like, you know, the big bad wolf and the wolf and the three pigs. Remember that story? you know, he wants to get into the pig's house, and I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house down and all of those things. That's not Jesus. He doesn't huff and puff and force his way in. Sometimes I think it might be easier if he did. Because then at least we'd have to pay attention. But not because we don't care, not because even that we're not aware that he's knocking on the door, but we're just so busy. We got things to do, places to go. And we just really aren't paying attention. At least not the way that we should. But that's God's way. That's the way it was when Jesus came. That's the way it still is today. And so the question comes to us, is there room in our hearts for Jesus? You know, when Joseph and Mary were going around, as I can imagine them, knocking on doors at the various inns in Bethlehem, there was no room because the inn was already full of people. It wasn't just that, oh, we don't like Joseph and Mary. No, it's, you know, we that's how I imagine it anyway. It's just really crowded. And they got there maybe kind of late in the situation. And isn't that the way often with our hearts? I mean, we already got tons of stuff going on in our lives. There are so many things that take up our time and our energy and our focus. And we have busy hearts. And Jesus knocks and we go, Jesus, I don't know if I have room for you. I'm not sure. And it's not as if Jesus says, you have to empty your heart of everything. I don't want anything to be in there except for me. Jesus says, I know. I know that you have a lot of things going on in your life. I know that this time of year means that you're busy. That there are things that concern you. Even that there are things that bring you sorrow because of losses you've experienced. I know there's a lot going on in your heart. And I'm not asking you to get rid of all of that, to ignore all of life, just so that I can come in. All I'm asking is, will you make some room for me so that I can join with you in your life? So I can be a part of your life, so that I can come in and live with you. And thereby walk together with you all the things that you're dealing with, all the things that you're so preoccupied with. That's okay. But can I be a part of that? Can you make room for me so that I can be in your life? And that really is what is going to make Christmas the very best it can be. God is in no way saying get rid of all of the festivities and all of the activities and all of the things that surround this time of year. He's simply saying, I want to be a part of that. And as you make me a part of that, I will help you with it. You know, the things where you're not feeling very peaceful, I will give you my peace. Where you're trying to love those difficult friends or relatives that pop up this time of year, I will share my love with you, so that you can share it with them. Where you have lost some hope in your life, when you really struggle with things, I'm here to share my hope with you because I want you to be hopeful. I want my joy to be in you that your joy may be full. But that can only happen if we make room for Jesus. So this Christmas, let's know, as he always does, that he's knocking on the door of our heart. And let us be in that continual habit of inviting him in to whatever is going on, good or bad, easy or difficult, because he would love to be a part of it all and thereby to give us all the wonderful gifts that are his all through the year, but certainly during the time of Christmas as well. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the beautiful Christmas story. And although we have heard it so many times and we have read it several times already this weekend, Lord, it always amazes us how you came into the world. It amazes us that the God of the universe who sends his Son does it in such a quiet and humble way, does not force himself into any room, into any inn in that village, does not make people pay attention, but still the invitation is there. Like the angel said to the shepherds, come and see. Come, check it out. And Jesus continues to be that way in his ministry. He doesn't force anyone to follow him. Indeed, at times he even seems to be saying, hey, be careful, this is going to be hard. Are you sure you want to be one of my disciples? You're going to have to give up a lot. Jesus is very honest, but he's also very welcoming. And he is also always, always knocking on the door. And so, Lord, may we be aware of that. May our ears be attuned to him, especially during this time of Christmas. And may we renew our determination to have him be a part of every part of our life so that he may contribute all of those good things he has for us. Thank you for our time of worship. Thank you, Father, that you are the one that we may lift up this Christmas season. And may we lift you up in our hearts every day of the year. In Jesus' name, amen.